Well, in our reading for this Sunday, in the lectionary, we skipped the woes. We didn't talk about woe to this town and woe to that town for what happens if you reject God's message. But we talked about the good things, the joys, the opportunities to share the message. When I read this, there were many opportunities to bring a message to you. Phil did a wonderful job talking about the same scripture, but from a different point of view. Because when I read it again, the thing that struck me was that last line. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, any of this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Don't rejoice that others will suffer. Don't rejoice that not everyone has the independence that we have. Don't rejoice that everyone does not have the standard of living that we have. Don't rejoice at the things that others don't share with us. Don't rejoice that others don't have Christ or have not heard His message. Rejoice that we have heard. Rejoice at what we have been blessed with, not at what others are missing or what others will suffer. And, you know, I was reading a little bit about the Declaration of Independence today. And what I had forgotten or what I hadn't learned in social studies class back in the day was that the Declaration was not the first thing that came to form our country. We think of it as the birth of our country, and yet the Declaration was something that was written by the Continental Congress. The Continental Congress was a group of representatives of 13 colonies which were seeking to redress grievances of the king. And some of the things they wrote during that same period of time asked the king to do the right thing because some of them still wanted to be part of his kingdom. They wanted to get straight with the crown. They wanted to be part of England. They were English. They were English colonists, and they still thought of themselves as part of that. But because they could not be satisfied, because they could not gain what they needed, because they could not get what they wanted, because they could not find a sufficient solution, they ended up choosing to establish their independence. And the words that they wrote echoed through history from then on. Other countries have followed our example. Other countries have sought to govern themselves as we govern ourselves. Other countries, other peoples around the world have looked to us as an example of a freedom that is rare in this world. We have so much. We point to that document, that Declaration of Independence, as being the birth of our country because it was when we stood up and said, we can't seem to make this work with you as our king, therefore we will rule ourselves. Did you know that one of the things the Continental Congress wanted to do was to elect George Washington and not just as president, but make him king? Lifelong? Wow, that doesn't sound like our country, does it? No. There were still people who thought we needed a king in this country, even after 1776. It was not just a day or two until the Constitution was written, but 13 years. Years when the country struggled, tried to figure out how to rule itself, whether it was going to be 13 countries in one confederation of independent countries, or 13 states within one union of states, or exactly how are we going to do all this stuff. They didn't get it right the first time. It wasn't easy. It wasn't pretty. It was a struggle. They made a lot of mistakes before they got to the Constitution. And even after they wrote the Constitution, they found out they had to write a Bill of Rights in order to add into the Constitution the stuff that they'd forgotten about in the first time. Sounds kind of messy, doesn't it? But freedom's like that. Humanity is like that. We struggle. We do good stuff. We do bad stuff. We fall aside. Wander around. We don't usually take the straightest path. We don't always take the right road. We make mistakes. We do things wrong. But sometimes we get it right. And when we do get it right, we try and hold on to it. We have a wonderful heritage of freedom. Our country was founded on a desire for religious freedom. We established our independence from the king. We established an example of being able to govern oneself without a king. That was a revolutionary concept back in the 1700s because, correct me if I'm wrong in my history, but all, if not all, certainly most countries had a king. And they ruled by divine right. And they ruled by succession through inheritance. Primogeniture, the oldest son, had the first right to the crown when the father died. And, yeah, women didn't have a whole lot of rights back then either, did they? Things have changed. We've come a long way. As the cigarette ad, we've come a long way, baby. We made mistakes along the way. We'll make more mistakes along the way as we go and try and find ways to live up to this example that our forefathers gave us. Ways to struggle through the world. If we, in our desire for our independence and freedom, oppress other people, are we living up to that example? No. Jesus says, don't lord it over those who don't accept you. Don't make a big deal about it. Knock the dust off your shoes. Say bye and move on. There are more places to go. There are more fields to harvest. There are more opportunities to share the word. Don't spend a lot of time arguing with people who don't agree with you. Don't spend a lot of time making a big deal about it for those who want to be left behind. If they don't want what you got, keep moving. Because what you have is valuable, and some people are desperately searching for it. Some people desperately want it. When you come into a town and you knock on a door and you say, peace be unto you, if there's somebody in that house that believes in peace, that seeks that peace, that needs that peace as we do, that person will come to you. That peace will rest on him. If not, say thanks and move on. Don't lord it over those people who are hurting. Don't lord it over those people who haven't figured it out yet. Don't be impressed with the abilities that I have given you to overcome the evils of this world. Be impressed with the promise that you will be part of my kingdom forever. That's what should be impressive. God's kingdom, God's country, God's wondrous promise that we will be with Him throughout all eternity. We need to work on living up to His promise of being the kind of people that can be proud to call ourselves Christians, of being the kind of people that can be proud to call ourselves Americans, of doing the kinds of things that make us the envy of the world. But not because we want to be envied, but because we want to do the right thing, be the right kind of people, live the right kind of life. Not at other people's expense. Not in order to show other people up, but because it's the right thing. I had to make a really difficult decision this last week. And I chose to move on from a job that I've had for 3 years because I no longer felt I could do the right thing. I no longer felt I could be the person that I needed to be and do what they were asking me to do. It's time to go. Time to do something else. And it's scary. To quit your job in this economy, that makes no sense. To walk away from a regular paycheck, even though I have the church here to help support me, and you do that very well, and I appreciate it. To go out on one's own and start a new business in this economy, that makes no sense. And yet, I felt I was being called to a new ministry, called to do a new thing, called to start something new and different, to reach out to people in a new way. To take that stuff that I had worked for, that certification, that training, that thing I had accumulated, those experiences I had accumulated, and take it out to people who were seeking to change their lives. And so I am in the process of starting a new business, going out to do private practice, and it's a challenge. It's scary. It's stressful, as we say. But I believe that if that's what God wants me to do, He'll lead me in the right direction. And if there's something else He wants me to do, He'll lead me in that direction. I got to the point where I did not feel like I could continue to do what I was doing. And so I made the decision to do the crazy thing, to follow Him. Not a good decision from a financial point of view, not a sane decision from a practical point of view, but a necessary decision from a spiritual point of view. That I should listen to that voice that guides me, that answers me in my prayers, that answers me in my time of need, that holds me up and keeps me straight, and do what He asked me to do. I'm sure you'll hear about the accomplishments and the disappointments as the months roll by. But what matters to me is that I'm out there trying to do His work, His will, the best I can do. And I think that's what matters to you too. I think that's what makes you keep coming here on Sunday mornings, taking your part of your weekend out to gather as a church family, as part of His kingdom, to do His will, to do His work, to listen to His word, to try and gain His inspiration, to try and find His peace, to find His freedom. The freedom of knowing who we are, whose we are, and right where we belong. Because we belong right here. We are Bethel. We are God's people. We care about each other. We care about what happens in our community. We care about what happens in our world. And so as we share this communion meal, I ask you to rejoice. Not just in the things that we have that others don't, but in who we are, where we are, and what it is we seek to do. To be His people in His world. We've a story to tell to the nations. We've an example to show to the people who struggle in the world to try and figure out what to do and how to do it. As God's people, we have a responsibility. As all who seek freedom have a responsibility. Rejoice, for the kingdom is near. Amen.